Sếp, thì chưa, can I borrow your... All right, we now on the second presentation. Second presentation. It's a presentation by Provincial Department of Health, Limpopo. I know that we've invited the MECs, HODs, CFOs, but it's fine. We will now hand over to you, madam, to take us through your presentation. Has this presentation been circulated? Yes, you've got it. Have you brought an update, or have you updated this one, or this is it? If you've updated, you're supposed to give us the updated version. Was it circulated? You see now, these members want to read with you from the same page with you as you read, and then, you know, so they're able to then formulate their questions. But that's fine. Meanwhile, you're organizing yourself. Shall we proceed with the presentation? Honorable members, let's listen carefully. But also, going forward in terms of time management, we are going to allow you to give us a presentation for 30 minutes, and then members will be allowed intervention for two questions. And please listen carefully to this one. These are reforms now. No preambles, because what's the use of us sitting here but we can't get the responses, eh? So no preambles, and you give us key questions, and then if there are any follow-ups, what I will allow honorable members is that those follow-ups are in writing. Clear? Okay. Shall we then proceed? I see the chairs are empty. Isn't it 5 minutes? Okay, let's proceed. They will find us along on the way. Madam, if you can introduce yourself. I don't remember you introducing yourself in the morning.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson, and honorable chairpersons and honorable members. I'm Dr. Pupira Matuba, the MEC for Health in the Bob. With me, of course, I've got apology from the MEC for Treasury, Rob Tolley, who's currently presenting at the legislature. But I do have the HOD from Treasury, Mr. Gavin Pratt, accompanied by Mepo Shia from Treasury, responsible for health. And of course, I also have an apology from the HOD for health. We've got a crisis at work here to go back yesterday, intense labor dispute where unions and hospitals, and we have got to attend to that because it's a life and death issue. But I do have the DDG for health branch and also the CFO, the DDG Dr. Mklongo and CFO Mr. Mudau. So I'll request Mr. Mudau to quickly take us through the presentation.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Doctor. Did you say? Yeah, Dr. Mklongo.
Thank you, honorable members. I'm going to present to the Standing Committee the report on matters identified by the committee. When we look into the presentation outline, we are going to look into 5 issues, but over and above that, we also elaborate further. The first one being the alignment between the national budget processes and the provincial budget processes, where we are going to also touch base on the challenges and measures to strengthen the alignment. Whereas the second issue will be the alignment in health information system, which include revenue and billing, patient, pharmaceutical application, network infrastructure between the province and other national ICT system for effective coordination in the health sector. And the third will be the devolvement of critical functions to designated levels for service delivery efficiencies and better performance. And the fourth will be ensuring the effective management of personnel expenditure in the health sector. And the last one will be the alignment of national and provincial health infrastructure priorities and improving infrastructure budget expenditure, where we are also going to touch base on the challenges and opportunities for improvement. Let me first touch base on the equitable share, state per province, which is very critical. I thought it would lay down the tone. If you look into this particular graph that I've just depicted, it looks into all the provinces, indicating that in terms of the national norm, we are supposed to be at 31%. There are those provinces that are above 31% in terms of their equitable share allocation. But when you look into Limpopo, we are at 27, meaning that having a shortfall of 4%. Proceeding forward, we felt that we need to also give now the value, which translates to the very same 4% that we have just, you know, indicated, looking into 17-18 and the funding gap. If you look into the current, you know, financial year, we are sitting at 17.4 billion and we are moving to 18 billion, whereas in terms of the funding, you know, average in terms of the national, you know, norm, we are supposed to be at 19.3 and the shortfall is around 1.3 billion. Now, coming to the alignment between the national budget process and the provincial budget processes and looking into the challenges and measures to strengthen the alignment, we would like to indicate as a province that we do have a very close relation with our provincial, you know, treasury, and we always meet and we also look into the issue of the MTEC or the budget bilaterals that the Limpopo provincial treasury conducts with all the departments, including our department. And this MTEC or budget bilaterals improve provincial budget planning and implementation and a credible provincial budget.
Anticipated this problem.
Can I check, is the updated one does have the other slides that has been shown? Because this one, the first slide and the graph and so on, there is nothing on this one.
I think it's being arranged, the updated one.
Are we being assisted to get the updated? Okay. So it will come any time. Am I right? Yeah. Can you go and push a bit? Because we don't have time, né? So we need this document as soon as yesterday. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. On the alignment challenges, we have just indicated, you know, as part of the first slide, where we have indicated that we are sitting with the challenge of the budget shortfall, that insufficient budget, you know, of the Limpopo department poses a risk in the provincial budget planning process, and this might compromise the credibility of the, you know, provincial budget as such. Whereas the National Department of Health had, however, indicated that they would want to have inputs to the department budget before we finalize with our provincial treasurer. Continue with the, you know, alignment challenges. We've got also the unfunded mandates, where we are talking to the issue of primary healthcare reengineering, which is a national strategy. Every clinic should reach ideal clinic status. However, there is a lack of funding for this project, therefore by making a national priority not to be fully realized. And also the issue of the policy changes, which talks to the universal test and treat of HIV and AIDS introduced in the middle of the financial year. And the other part which is also critical is the medical, legal or litigation cost, which is very much problematic because it's not easy for you to can, you know, 100% fully fund it. As and when you look into the historical, it will tell you to say this is how much you need to fund, but when it comes to actual, it becomes something different. We also went to an extent of coming up with the summary of the expenditure per program, but this is up to the end of Jan 2017. If you look into our spending trend or the percentage, we were supposed to be at around 83, but we were over and above that 5.8 if you look into the bottom part of the percentage. And this is as a result of the overheating of our program 1, program 2 at 85.7, EMS at 85.4, and also program 4 at 83.6, and Central Hospital at least were at 81.6. Health, you know, science and training were at 83.5. Healthcare support were at 78.5, whereas the health facility management were still below the norm at 60.7%. But now when we look into the expected over expenditure, as at end of the financial year, we were sitting at around 594 million. This is just an economic classification illustration of what I've already, you know, alluded to in terms of the programs from Program 8 to Program 1, where I was indicating that on compensation of employee, we anticipated to break even, meaning that compensation of employee was fully funded. Our challenges or where we were overheating is on goods and services, where we anticipated to overspend by 471, whereas on departmental agencies, we're sitting at around 14.2 over expenditure as a result of the medical legal cases. And on households, we were sitting at 109 million as a result of the Cuban doctors program, which it has just been recently funded again by our provincial treasurer. So the three items, when you look at them, they are summed to 594 million. Impact of medical legal, you know, claims, which I said is a serious problem, is the escalation of the medical legal claims from an average of 30 million per year, if you look into our 13-14 to 15-16 financial year, to 17 million in 2016-17, which is an increase of around 133%, pose a big challenge on the budget baseline of the department, as these are costs that are not budgeted for or properly budgeted for because of lack of sufficient funding. Such court cases result in shifting of funds from other items to pay, you know, the court orders, because you cannot ignore the court order, and it also now deals with our goods and services as such. The department has, however, developed a plan to reduce this cost over a short and long-term period. Here we have just given the illustration of our accruals trend over the five-year period. If you look while we're still under administration, we started at around, on goods and services, 500 million in 2011-12, and it went down to around below or between 300 and 400 million in 12-13, and it also went down on 13-14 to be below or between 200 million to 300 million, and also stay the same in 14-15 and picked up in 15-16 financial year, and also a little bit goes down in terms of the projection in 16-17. We'd like to indicate that during this period of administration, there were quite a lot of stagnation. There was no movement in terms of, you know, certain accruals to be honored, because they were busy investigating the validity of the accounts. And as and when they move out, we started to move, and we started to show the, you know, correct, you know, spending capacity of the department. Hence, you know, in 15-16 as well as 17-18, we started to show an increase in our accruals. On the alignment between the national, you know, budget processes and the provincial budget processes, wherein we also said we'll touch based on the challenges and measures to strengthen the alignment. On strengthening of the alignment, from now onwards, the Limpopo Department of Health and the National Department of Health will hold a provincial budget benchmark exercise before finalization of the budget to give input to the budgeting process. And the purpose of this benchmark exercise, among others, is to evaluate the budget alignment to national and provincial priorities, ensure rational budget for program, hospital, district and primary health care facilities, and evaluate the credibility of the budget allocation. Whereas coming to the alignment in health information system between the province and other national ICT system for effective coordination in the health sector, we are saying the National Health Normative Standard Framework for interoperability in e-health in South Africa has been developed to ensure interoperability of health information system in the country. Whereas point number two is the Limpopo Department of Health has developed a system as the hospital information system, which introduces duplication of patient file and the opportunity for people to collect medicine more than once for the same problem, which is a problem. The department is in the process of improving its system from a hospital information system to a centralized health information system, and will ensure compliance with the National Health Normative Standard Framework minimum interoperability requirements. The current, you know, information and communication technology infrastructure is obsolete and poses a service delivery risk to the untimely system downtimes. A project to upgrade the ICT infrastructure is planned to start in the new financial year. We have just received, you know, a better funding from Treasury to address this matter, and will be done in a phased approach due to budget constraints. That we have received an injection is not yet enough, but it will take us somewhere. Whereas in terms of the development of critical functions to designated levels for service delivery efficiencies and better performance, we would like to indicate that all the support functions such as HR, financial management, which include procurement as well as asset management, have been devolved up to the district hospital level. And the delegation of authority have different levels of approvals. Few functions are centralized at head office, given an example of the advertisement of, you know, vacancies as well as tenders, bank reconciliation, which deals with, you know, cash management, contract management, which is under supply chain, and bazaar management and appointment of staff. Whereas in terms of ensuring the effective management of personnel expenditure in the health sector, we are saying the human resource planning assesses and determines cost of existing and required personnel in the department on a yearly basis, and also do the monitoring. The workload indicators staffing needs, which is the WISEN, wherein we are saying the normative guidelines for primary health care have been determined and await implementation following the completion of engagement with different stakeholders. And whereas the district hospitals are at the data collection phase at this point in time. But when you look into our 17-18 compensation of employee allocation, we'd like to indicate that this is the details which talks to the ensuing financial year, where we are saying as a department we are sitting at 35,468 employees. And those employees have been budgeted for in the next financial year. And we also indicated the cost of living adjustment, which is at 6.1%, which translates to 752 million. And we are saying if ever we also look into the you know, performance management development, wherein we have to budget for 1.5% pay progression, 1.5%, you know, performance bonus, both will cost us around 185 and 185. And estimated translation of qualifying health professionals, referring to the OSD, which will need around 35 million, and estimated January 2018, where we then go to an extent of looking into the post-com serves, we are looking at around 110 million, and the current appointment of advertised posts, where we are saying these are the ones that have been approved because we are working in collaboration with our provincial treasury. We are looking at 15 million, and the total COE requirements stand at around 13.6, which is over and above the available budget of 13 billion by 622 million. So we've got a shortfall of around 622, which we are still engaging with our provincial treasurer. Whereas going to infrastructure better, we felt that we need to first beam the 16-17 budget and expenditure as at, you know, the 10th of March, wherein we then went to an extent of looking into the conditional grant as well as the voted fund, and both they are sitting at around 736 million combined, whereas in terms of expenditure, we are at 597, which translates to 81%, and we've got commitments to the value of 65 million. As a department, we are confident that come end of the financial year, we'll have break-even in this particular, you know, project or program, and the provincial infrastructure budget is aligned to the national health infrastructure priorities. Whereas in terms of, you know, the challenges and the plan intervention, we are saying as a province, we've got aging and inappropriate, not fit for purpose infrastructure and equipment, and we are going to look into the resuscitation of Capital Work Planning Committee. And the other issue that we are sitting with is limited capital and maintenance budget versus the needs, where we are saying we are going to revisit the work undertaken by the task team on healthcare funding, update data and cost estimate, and submit to Provincial Treasury, National Department of Health, and National Treasury. I thank you.
Thank you so much for the presentation. Honourable members, as agreed, two questions per member. Now is your time to reflect and engage. I know we don't have time. We don't even have time to think. We must just come in. Honourable member, Kosa. Okay, you may come in, Honourable member Kosa. There are no other hands.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm happy. I'm the only one going to engage with the province.
No. Okay. The others are still coming. Okay, please.
Oh, and thank you, Limpopo, for your straight and to the point presentation. It has really assisted me. However, I'm just having to ask. Two questions as per instructions from the chair. The first one is with regard to the AG's report concerning the shortage of staff, which has resulted in the department failing on your performance on the clinical engineering department. My question is, what are the plans in place to avert these challenges, and also how do you want to improve on the repeated findings by the AG? Because when they keep on repeating to me, I take it that you do not take them serious. Then I want to know from yourself as to whether you take them serious so that you'll be able to improve in future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Dr. Maisela, and then Honorable Member
Thank you, Chair. We thought that only two of us were going to ask 10 questions. Not okay. Yeah, two questions. One is your TB cure rate is about 70% above national target. What it is that you are doing so that we can let the others know that they can copy from you with pleasure and do it correctly? In fact, if you can go to 80 and they get to 70, will be better for everybody. Please give us this medicine you are using so that we can use it nationally. The second one I don't need to read is just that your record for maintenance is appalling. And I don't need to read what I've written about that. It's just that what are you going to do to really try and catch up with this maintenance thing? Because if you don't do it, it is as good as saying that it is no more going to be repairable. We must just demolish and start another one. A stitch in time saves 9, I think. So at least save us 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chair. Only one question, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, one of the purposes of this meeting is to be emphatic in ensuring value for money. The AG's report says the contractors in the department in the province did not do the quality work, and that some health facilities were underutilized. I just want to know, Honorable Chairperson, what measures have been put in place to address the situation, and if are those measures giving positive results or not? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member Shopestole.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to thank the MEC for Health Limpopo for having taken the trouble to come here. We are aware that you are busy with the emergencies in your province, but you made it. It is extremely important because, you know, had you just sent your administration staff, we would not actually get the feeling that there is political will to change the situation after having been under administration. I just want to say that you have tried your best as a province after administration, but what is important for you now is that you must correct every recommendation of the Auditor General. That will help you, and make sure that you actually work very closely with the national department, because the issues, some of the issues that you're raising have been raised by other provinces. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Member McLaughlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll also be short. My thanks also to the delegation from Limpopo. I just wanted to know, there's nothing in your presentation I see about revenue that you collect yourselves. Can you just tell us what your collection rate is, and do you have a system in place to collect bad debts? Thank you.
Okay, I think that's all for now. Dr. Fick. The hand. Okay, all right. I do want to comment about the over expenditure. Somehow we must get used to respecting our own laws. We've got a PFMA that says an over expenditure is an offence. Have you not seen lately how we are taken to court for every little thing? Is that how you want to learn that this is an offence and stop doing it? I think it can be, we can still manage this one better. It is wrong to undermine our own legislation. So all that it says, man, is that I think we must change our ways of doing things. Where you say you've been given 27% of the equitable share, it is, harsh reality is, there's no other money that is going to come. So it means we can therefore not be fixated on the programs we have. It means we've got to go back to the drawing board. Look at your strat plan, and then look at where can you cut, even if it means postponing some of the activities that are not key to the following year. And then you, with the budget you have, you then deliver the services. But all that we're interested in is a good infrastructure. Instead of building, if you don't have money, just focus on refurbishment of the existing structure. Appoint cleaners so that our hospitals can be clean, because for now all that we hear is that our hospitals are dirty and they're smelling. And then get medication. Those are key things. Medication, because all that we're getting from the community out there, which has made us to call you here, is that there's no medication. And these people have got the right to health, and you are expected to give them quality health care or quality health services. So, sir, if you can talk around that and tell us what are you doing then, Dr. Mhlongo. Your budget shortfall is 1.3. This is the situation. And if you can't afford, go back to a drawing board. Look at what is it that you can do with the budget you have, but without compromising key service delivery issues. Okay. Over to you. Okay. There's a... Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I won't be long. I believe we've been restricted to one or two questions. Okay. I think I would very briefly, what is your view, and I'm not sure if this question was asked, about the Auditor General's report in your poor performance in many aspects? And then you can just perhaps just tell us what you're doing about these, the healthcare workers, the clinical associates that the minister and things have spoken about, what you're doing about it, how you're accommodating, whether you've now reduced the bursaries and things like that. I'll just stop there for now. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Honorable MEC.
Thank you, Chairperson. And once more, thanks, Honorable Members, for giving us this opportunity to present, and also for the questions that have been asked and the comments. I think I'll just give a brief overview in terms of the response, which I'll then hand over to the acting HOD and the CFO, and if Treasury would want to add something, would therefore allow them. Now, what we need to acknowledge is the fact, yes, indeed, in terms of the way health is being funded, it is a challenge, but that doesn't make us to can operate outside the law that we have. We need to find a way. That is why, especially if you look at the composition of employee, I think the last time when we were presenting to the portfolio committee, we've raised a number of challenges that we're having in terms of our structure, wherein you've got a structure that is hydrocephalous. You've got a big head with small legs. That is why you are unable to appoint your cleaners, your groundsmen, your food service aid, because you've got a manager of everything. And we are also engaging national to say to the national, sometimes some of the programs that are initiated national, probably they would give us the funding for that for a particular year. Now, in the middle, we are told to say, absorb those people in your structure. These are some of the unfunded mandate that we are talking about. If you look at the program of a district clinical specialist team, while that program is a good one, it's supposed to probably assist us in addressing challenges. But we were not prepared because we were just told to say appoint this head of clinical department in obstetrics, in family medicine. One of each one, we're talking about OSD, where they come to around 1.8 million, and you're appointing five per each district, and the other five for the province, and also the next. So these are the areas which begins to shoot our composition, which we need to be finding a way to say we've been raising. Treasury is also on top of us to say, but this has not been funded, and you will get that, and you can't take them away because you then appreciate the work that you are doing. So we're saying more coordination on that, but also our own making in the province. Wayne, I'll give a lousy example. You have an outbreak of cholera, and you create a directorship in cholera. When you have cleaned up cholera, what then happens? So as we are saying, our structure has got a big head and small legs. We are in the process, and we're engaging Treasury to assist us in how do we then rationalize the staff. The staff in a mental health facility where you've got so many professional nurses. These are generals whom you don't necessarily need. You need your enrolled nurses or enrolled assistant nurses. But in an MDR, multiple drug resistant TB unit, you don't need so many professional nurses, because the role there would be to issue medication once a day in most of your patients. So why don't you operate with the more cheaper, and which is your enrolled and staff nurses? That is the work which we are trying to do, but you must understand it will keep us conflicting us with labor, so that we can deal with all this animal of compensation of employees. Because this is where, if we are to do a lot of work, we can be able to have the more money to can appoint more doctors that we need, to appoint more nurses where they are needed. I believe our clinics can run 24 hours. We can have money to have professional nurses, only if we redistribute them. So they can't be where they are not necessarily needed. They need to be at a clinic where, or in a maternity ward, where you want a professional nurse to do a PV every hourly to be able to progress a woman in labor. Unlike having them in a multiple drug resistant unit where they are sitting and they are doing absolutely nothing. For me, that is one area which we are really working hard with Treasury to deal, and so that we can spend within our limit. We can be able to do that and create. And also, some of the directorship needs to be merged. I think National has been guiding us to say, TB and HIV, why separate them? But we continue to separate in such a way that you will have a director of TB, each district also having a director of TB, director of HIV. There's no need. And when you have a director, you then have a lot of managers below them. And all these managers and directors need PAs. So I think a salary of a director can appoint many cleaners. We are not trying to lament, but we are just showing that we have made that diagnosis as a province. The issue is we are trying to climb that particular mountain, which will appreciate the support that we can get from the honorable members, because it is affecting people, employees personally, where we will need to redistribute. Say, this director must move out of this post to go to the other post that they will be maximally utilized and we can be able to. On the compliment that we got in terms of how do we manage TB to be able to get where we are, I think the question of bringing TB and HIV and AIDS together under HAST Directorate and providing the leadership. The leadership meaning when National and the South African National AIDS Council took away and put it within the presidency, even at provincial level, it then had to be at the Premier's office, such that when you deal with TB, even if it might be the face of the MEC, most of the time I'll be representing the Premier, because it has become the Premier's priority. We recently, like now, have different dialogues in all our five districts with TB patients and bringing the community and their loved ones. Because TB is curable, and if everybody can get that message clear. So Limpopo has provided political leadership on this one in terms of understanding that TB we can prevent, TB we can cure. Even MDR now, we do have 60% of cure rate. Of course, even XDR, where it was seen as a death sentence, you still, because of the new drugs that we have, you then have got a 20% chance of survival. But also to say, having to engage traditional leaders and traditional healers. Limpopo, our areas of Waterberg and Skukune, in the mining areas. This is where we go to and partner with unions within the mining sector in order to screen. We actually have screened 90% of our mine workers in terms of TB. They have been screened, and some of them I would go and screen them personally so that they can see that this is serious, we mean it. So having your traditional healers and developing them even a manual on symptoms for TB in all your languages in Limpopo, for them to understand that this is TB refer. Our traditional leaders who are affiliated to the organization understands that they will even preach the gospel that there is no traditional healer in this country who can treat TB. Now, when it's them saying that message, so you can believe, you can see that we are moving forward. Of course, our struggle with those even faith-based, there are those that support us, the churches, in running all this campaign, but there are those prophets of doom that we want to congratulate ourselves for being able to win a case against the doom man. These are the people who are regressing our progress and success in terms of fighting disease. Now court pronounced itself, so no prophet can give a hazardous substance to citizens of South Africa and Limpopo in the name of, because everybody who's sick, everybody wants money, everybody wants marriage, so that's why they fill up all these churches. And when they fill up, people abuse them. So we're working hard on that. And this approach is not only for TB. As per the national strategic plan, we are using this. We have not, in simple language, we have not innovated anything. We've just taken what the DG presented in the National Strategic Plan and implemented. We are just doing what the policies of South African government are saying in terms of managing all this. The issues of AG recommendation, we've got an audit plan team. I'm sure I'll give the CFO a few minutes just to the team is there meeting to address each and every item, and they know very well they've got to address all of them. If they don't, anyone who is being if we get disclaimed as the Premier always say, I will disclaim them also in the department, because I will, before the Premier disclaim me, I must disclaim all of them. So there is no way, we don't have a room to go there. We have to address all those issues. I think he will take us in the other issues. But of course, we're taking the comment by the chairperson very seriously, that our people, all they need is a clean hospital with medication, with a smiling nurse, with a doctor that will look at them and examine them. They will be happy. They're not asking for a 5-star hotel services. They won't ask you, why are you not giving me a 3-course meal? Why is your DSTV channel not having so many? All they need is basic things, which we believe we can be able to achieve and implement them. And we put a plan in place to address all those issues that have been raised, even by the Office of the Healthcare Standards, after we've been assessed. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable MEC, Honorable Members. Let me just indicate that there's one item which is deep in my heart. That is the issue of the audit outcome for 15-16 financial year. I would like to indicate first that in 14-15 financial year, the department got unqualified audit opinion, but it was on the financial management. And on the performance, we were still having some issues which we felt that are still supposed to be looked at, of which the department has also developed the action plan to address that. In the 15-16 financial year, we got qualification, and it was around four issues, which were also matters of emphasis in 14-15. It was the issue of the movable assets, wherein we got a qualification as a result of the completeness of our asset register, as well as the existence of the assets, as well as the issue of, you know, certain valuation which were found by the AG. What we did, we went to an extent of coming back to the drawing board in order to resolve this matter. Taking into consideration the size of the department, we were still on manual asset register spreadsheets. So we would like to indicate that Treasury went to an extent of assisting us and getting, you know, a system called BOT, which we are moving towards, and we are confident that by the end of the financial year, meaning March, we should have already captured everything on board and will then report on board, which has got an audit trail. Because last financial year, what has compromised us was that the spreadsheets that we were working on, when they were consolidated, somewhere, somehow, things didn't, you know, fall into place the way it was planned. Hence, you know, things, you know, were not of a credible or an acceptable standard, and at the end we got qualification. On revenue management, which was also an issue, and it's a critical issue that we are looking at, we realized that, you know, record management is an issue, and our patients, as and when they visit our hospitals, those visits are not recorded. And as a result, it ended up putting us into a problem of completeness of the revenue balance, which was disclosed in our financial statements. And this financial year, though we are not yet there in terms of the solution that we have, because our IT infrastructure is obsolete at the hospitals. We went to an extent of coming up with the audit turnaround strategy, where we said, you know, it should be human kind of, you know, intervention, wherein our people are doing what we call the reconciliation of all the patients that have enjoyed the services and those that have been captured on the system, in order to address the issue of completeness and accuracy of the information on the system. Whereas the last two, it was the leave entitlement as well as the committed overtime. We have gone to an extent of making sure that those registers are monitored on a monthly basis. We have even established what we call an audit steer com, that we said it has to sit on the monthly basis, and all the CEOs together with the district executive, they account to that particular committee on the monthly basis. We have developed what we call the framework, which are standard, you know, reports that is expected of them to, you know, present in those particular forum, in order for a head office management to be comfortable that yes, there is compliance and it's 100%. At this point in time, we are comfortable with the issue of the committed overtime as well as the issue of leave management, and we believe that it will be resolved even when we are audited in the year 16-17 financial year. Going to the issue of the over expenditure, I would like to indicate that we have noted the comment and also the issue of reprioritization. I would like to indicate that as a department, we are working closely with our provincial treasury. We even went to an extent of having what we call a budget week, where it was a collaboration between the department and the provincial treasury in order for them to understand, you know, deeper the dynamics of the department. And indeed, after that particular, you know, workshop or budget week, they agreed with us to say the department, you know, needs, you know, a serious intervention from provincial treasury. And we've seen them coming in, they're assisting us, they're giving us whatever they could afford to. It's just that it's unfortunate the economic situation of South Africa is not, you know, in a situation where it could meet all our needs at this point in time. There was an issue of revenue management as to whether we are collecting enough. I would like to indicate that in terms of the appropriation or the estimated budget of revenue, yes, for this financial year we are going to, you know, meet the target, but we are not happy with, you know, the collection on our patient fees, because other items are the ones that are pushing us up to a point where we will end up, you know, meeting the target. But the patient fees, we are still not doing well. And, you know, Treasury gave us the money to look into our ICT infrastructure and to enhance in order to make sure that we could take an advantage of this, you know, lucrative, you know, opportunity which is in the department to improve, because we still believe that we could do more. Whereas on the issue of maintenance, which talks to the infrastructure as well as our medical equipment, I would like to indicate that on the medical equipment, we have gone to an extent of concluding contracts with the owners of the equipment for a period of, you know, 3 years, because we have realized that if we allow any other, you know, service provider to touch the equipment of a certain brand without giving the, you know, responsibility to the owner of the brand, we end up having a problem whereby you find that even the guarantees falls off. So we have gone to an extent of negotiating with the owners of the equipment and make it a point that it's in line with our supply chain prescripts, and we have given them contract at this point in time, of which we think they are doing a wonderful job, because we said they must maintain and they must do preventative kind of services instead of being reactive. Whereas on the issue of maintenance of our infrastructure, I would like to indicate that as a department, we have now concluded contract with around 12 service providers who are in our database, and they've been given a 3-year contract, and also the institutions that they're supposed to maintain. They've started now in February, and the contract will run for a period of 3 years. The only challenge we have, which we also note, is that the budget is not sufficient, and as a result, we'll also reprioritize and make it a point that instead of, you know, building more, you know, structures, we concentrate more on maintaining what we have. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Does look like we're done. Okay, Chair.
The Limpopo has raised something very new in the scheme of challenges to provinces, which is more related to regionalization and redistribution. Now, my question will be, pardon me, Chair, if I've missed that, is that is there going to be an intense involvement and communication with labor? Because if then that is not handled properly, it can still backfire, as much as it's for good reasons. But it has been, and I do think that the national department must look into that. Maybe that can be a pilot for other provinces. But my concern is the involvement of all the stakeholders in the labor movement. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. We will definitely submit. We do have an infrastructure unit which is effective, but of course, in terms of the skills, we are relying on the public works hub. We do advertise posts, but finding the warm bodies, it's difficult. Being in the rural province, not being able to pay competitive salaries like the mines will do. It's one area which is making it difficult to say when we're trying to recruit. It's a rough challenge, but I must indicate that with those that are there, what we my experience is that we've got one of the most effective unit, even if they are really short staffed. They're very committed, those engineers that we do have, and the plan is there. In fact, even in terms of the spending on the grant, Treasury will agree with me that we're one of the departments that is able to spend even the grants on infrastructure, and the work is able to be done. I must give credit where it's due, because if I go to a hospital and find a boiler not working, before closure of business, it will be working. So it's one of those units that they are effective, but we must acknowledge their shortfalls where they don't have enough manpower to can assist in that. But we will provide you with the plan which is costed. On the issue of rationalization, as I've indicated to you, this is a matter which a Public Service Commission has already done their own part, where in the findings, in fact, they did even the whole provincial assessment, that as health, we are one of those departments which has got a number of, there are many directors who are not even qualifying to be directors. That is one of the issues that we've inherited. We've got such which we need to be working. And as I've indicated earlier on, it's a sensitive matter. You've got to deal it within the law, but also understanding the fact that it affects individuals in a personal way, to say labor getting involved, but also you're talking about SMS level who would not necessarily be belonging to the trade unions, but will have another forum where they... So we have put up a team which comprised of labor and ourselves, and that's why we said we will be seeking, we've already requested Treasury to assist, and also will be, as per your advice, we will be writing or requesting the DG, I'm not sure if she's here, but I haven't seen her, but we'll be talking to the DG so that she can assist us and probably babysit us on this, as we will be navigating on this very difficult path. Good morning, DG.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to contract management. Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. I just want to indicate that the department has got a contract management, you know, unit under supply chain management. And the unit is responsible for the overall management of the contracts that we have, as well as to ensure that as and when the contracts are 6 months before they lapse, the unit is also responsible of, you know, informing the project managers as to whether they still need this particular kind of a project to be renewed, or we are not going to need this particular, you know, services. But I would like to indicate on the side of the infrastructure that taking into consideration what the Honorable MEC has already, you know, alluded to, that we are working with the implementing agencies such as IDT and Public Works. And what we do, the account before a certain committee that we have put together on a monthly basis, which assists us in now knowing as to what is happening with the contracts that they are managing on our behalf. But other contracts we are managing ourselves in the department.
She wanted to add something.
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. I think on the issue of rationalization, we have got a serious challenge from a service delivery point of view in terms of policy. And if we don't do it at a national level, I think the issue of compensation of employees will continue to be consuming the larger chunk of the budget. In terms of policy issues, as it stands right now, we are sitting with issues where medical staff and health professionals are becoming very reluctant to carry out certain tasks, even though they have been exposed to them. For an example, with the South African Nursing Council scope of practice, we in rural provinces, we are used to have a doctor scrubbing in theater and a nurse assisting. Right now, nurses refuse to assist in theater. So what does it mean? It means I must have two doctors scrubbing. It means I must have the call roster having in a small district hospital three or four doctors on call, one covering maternity, two covering theater, one covering OPD. What does it do to my commuted overtime? It goes up. Ultimately, I have to sit with category four, which no clinician wants to do because of the way it has been structured. My bill overall on just compensation goes up. Secondly, linked to the very equipment that we were talking about earlier on, clinical engineers and what we are doing. We've got another animal that has brewed. In radiology, radiographers are specializing now. Previously, you would have a radiographer running around all areas. Now, they do mammography and that's it, because they are specialized in that area. So for all the specialties, if we fragment and we continue to fragment, my bill on compensation of employees, just to attend to one patient, I need four specialists in that area. So if we don't deal with this at policy level, it's continuously increasing the number of staff required. Nurses no longer do 7 to 13 on their rosters. They do 7, 19. So it means in a ward, I must have eight professional nurses in a roster. Four in, four out, whereas I could do previously with just two professional nurses, and they are covered in the council. Nurses are saying it's not in their scope of practice to drive mobile services. So it means on my compensation of employees, for every mobile service clinic that I buy, I must appoint a driver as well. And that means my bill for compensation of employees continues to grow. So if I have to deal with all this, and I deal with gazetting of health facilities as per the Gazette of 2012 August, where it is specified quite clearly who can run an institution, no doctor wants to be a superintendent of a small district hospital because the package is very low. So I can't have that. So I must still have a CEO and a medical practitioner, even though the gazetting says so, because the package is so low, the person doesn't see any value, rather remain an MO. And I'm raising this because we are one of the provinces that, as it stands right now, we are unable to appoint the very cleanest, because our compensation of employees, as presented earlier, we are overheating. So it is not because we don't see the need and our vacancy rate, it's because continuously, as things change, as policy change, as all those demands changes, it makes everybody to split one function into three, four people, apart from the hydrocephalus that the MEC spoke about in terms of senior management. But even on a lower category level, we find now medical negligence, again, it's a problem. People are refraining from touching patients because of the very high cost of medical negligence. People are not comfortable in taking certain specialties, particularly in obstetrics. Doctors don't want to be registered in obstetrics because it's a high-risk area. Nurses are saying, if it's going to theater, it's a maternity case, I don't want to be part of it, so I'm not skilled in theater, I cannot assist. So These are things that we are faced with in service delivery, and the question was asked whether is it immune to, or is it in Limpopo, and maybe other provinces might still be managing at the moment, but in Limpopo our budget has heated so much that these issues have become pertinent. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, I think it's going to be the important DG and MC that, in particular, one province, I don't know which one, but Northwest. And personally, I said, I agree with those nurses that they can't go and scrub when they are not theater technique trained. Because when they are then litigated, it's only themselves that are going to stand there. And therefore, it's important that, in fact, we said to Northwest, if you want them to go to be in theater, train them. So that's why the MEC was saying here yesterday, we have sent those nurses to go and train for theater technique. It's there, and I would like to come to the defense of them. It's quite, secondly, if they are to drive mobiles, it's in my understanding that in the clinics, when they were under municipality, and when they apply, there are those categories that they then apply. It's within their scope of practice, and therefore, even nurses today, they always want to safeguard themselves, because truly and also speaking, under the South African Nursing Council, you are on your own, because there's a question that you are going to be asked, is it in your scope of practice? And if you say no, you are gone. So I think try some innovative means. Taking them to go and do theatre technique, it's a year. If it's advanced, I think it's another year. So rather invest so that you know that you have got those skills. But please, good people, don't force them, in particular in theatre, to do what they are not trained for. You know, MEC as a doctor, that is quite challenging. I thought it's important that I raise that.
Indeed, we've had an interesting engagement, and on all those areas that members raised concern, we really would like a turnaround, and of course, we must express our displeasure for your regression on your audit opinion, as it's qualified. And the CFO, listening to you responding, you have the capacity. Now, our instruction is, it is expected of you to perform, because this qualification says you have underperformed. And so talking to the DG, DG must just make sure that it happens, but it talks directly to you. You have underperformed. So in the not very long, soon we will be calling you, at least for the 16, let's hope for the 16, 17, we will get a better performance, because indeed we are right deep into this year and we are about to get the next report. So let's hope we'll get better results. Thank you very much. We are done with Limpopo, and we, MEC, we really wish you all of the best there. Yeah, okay. Shall we then have the next presentation? The rules still stand.
Good presentation, Chair. We appreciate that we see the women in this program. Yeah, yeah. We really appreciate MEC.
Yeah, thank you
well
very
done.
Much.
Well done.
All right. Yeah, okay.
Well done.
All right. Sit down, gentlemen. The last one. Yeah. Okay. Shall we now take the Northern Cape? Northern Cape. Hi. Okay, if you can move faster, I think we're running out of time.
Oh.
Thank you very much. Shall we settle down so that we can start? The same rules will apply even here, whereby we will give the province 30 minutes to give us their presentation, and then members will be allowed 2 questions per member, but also if we could have 30 minutes also for engagement with the presentation. And for follow-up questions, we have agreed that we'll have to come in the written form. And yeah, I think that's it. Thank you. 30 minutes presentation, over to you, sir. If you can introduce yourself, because you came later. So
thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Lebogang. Mothlabing is the surname. MEC for Health in the Northern Cape. Next to me is the Acting HOD, Ms. Thembi Mazibuko, and then the CFO, Ms. Shonice Wuchi, the Acting Corporate Services Manager, Mr. Mutingwe, the Acting Infrastructure Chief Director, Mr. Dr. Mabona, and then we also have the Head of Ministry at the back, the Mr. Jack, Kolile Jack.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Chair, as we all are aware, the Northern Cape, it's a very rural province, which comprises a third of the total landscape of the country, and with an estimated population of about 2%. Which actually informs the allocation to provinces. That population is mainly the factor that we have considered when allocations are made to provinces. But I don't think the vastness of the province is taken into account, because if you look at the amount of money that is spent just for traveling, one can safely say that it's, the allocations that we get are not justified, which then makes it very difficult for us as a province to even retain the kind of and recruit the skills that we need as a province. For example, recently in Harry Surdi Hospital, which is one of the state-of-the-art hospitals that was recently built, we had a threat from the doctors who wanted to resign because they were demanding a 20,000 for housing allowance. And then, unfortunately, we don't have that kind of money. We had to negotiate. Despite them getting 8,000 rand as housing allowance, we had to up it with another 4,000 just to keep them, because you see, such threats make us as a province very, very vulnerable, because you might think that they are just threatening you, but anyway, when they resign, then we are sitting with a challenge, and it cannot be good for us as a department. So we are then saying that we really need to reprioritize. But reprioritization will then mean having a particular bias to the compensation of employees, because without your professionals, particularly in your periphery, in your rural, deep rural areas of the province, becomes difficult if the professionals are not willing to go there. One of the issues, as we will know, Chair, is while still talking, because I don't want to start by lamenting, but while still talking about the allocations, the vehicles that we use, for example, we are using them on bad roads. We know recently, 2 years back, there was schools were closed for about 6 months in our province, in JTG, precisely of the road conditions. So even the lifespan of the vehicles that we buy will not necessarily take us to the number of years or the kilometers that we anticipate to them to move, because of the bad road conditions, the stray animals, people getting involved in accidents. So those kind of things are really issues that we want to be appreciated when allocations are made to the province. And we have experienced a decline of about 3.5% in terms of our allocation. Despite us having new facilities that we have built over the years, like your clinics and the new hospitals, it cannot be correct that we get a decline, because obviously for us to operationalize those facilities, we need warm bodies, which then obviously will impact on the compensation of employees.
will eventually lead to over expenditure, which the chair warned against earlier on. So I think with those few words, Chair, I would like to request the HOD, the acting HOD, Mema Zibuko, to do the presentation. Thank you very much.
Technically challenged. Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. I think before just we get into the first slide, which I think the CFO can slide, I just want to extend the context for service delivery in the Northern Cape a little bit further to the remarks of the MEC, in the sense that before we talk about the alignment of national budgets and provisional budget processes, we have got to highlight the fact that the services definitely become more expensive to render in the province due to the sparsity. We have got less than 3 people per square kilometer distribution. And it is a legal or constitutional right of every inhabitant of the province to have access to quality health services. So we've got to stretch our end much more further than most provinces, although there are similarities in certain sections of some of the provinces that have presented. It also, the geographical and demographic nature of the province also leads to the fact that we've got high referral rates. Sometimes for services that need to be rendered at a lower level, not necessarily suited for the referral level. So that was just briefly to extend that context. We have been asked a set of questions to respond to, and these are, I think, standard for all of the provinces. And our understanding was also that the National Department of Health gave the context to these same areas. So that is the allocation to provinces countrywide, and the Northern Cape receiving 4.4 billion of that allocation, of which 2.5% for the National Health, that is 2.5% of the National Health allocation, I'm sorry, that is the overall budget. Now the sector budget we observe has increased by more than 6.5%, or you can equate that to almost 11 billion. However, as the MEC has said, we see this decline specific to Northern Cape, and it's the only province that has actually suffered 3.5% below par, as the graph is indicating. Now, this is a very difficult situation to depart from, given the context that has just been highlighted by the MEC and myself in the opening. So in the next slide, we are showing what happens amongst the provinces once they've received their allocations. And for the Department of Health in the Western Cape, you see a 34% allocation within the province. That is what the Department of Health gets. And in Gauteng, it's 35%, KZN 33%. Now, the Department of Health in the Northern Cape gets only 26% of the provincial allocation. We can move to the next slide. When you compare to the sector average of 31%. Now, the figures, if they are translated in real terms, are actually quite mind-boggling, because when you move from 26% of the budget to 31%, there's a 5% difference, which, as the CFO calculated for us in the last few days, translates to 1.8 billion that the Northern Cape Department of Health currently is being shortchanged, if I can use the word, compared to other provincial allocations. the CFO will extend more on these areas should a need arise. Now, the challenges that we're facing is that there are the national mandates and priorities that are directed to improving quality of care. For example, the non-negotiables that we've got to protect, issues of clinical governance, the Office of Health Standards compliance, and without an additional budget, sometimes we've got to consider looking for scrapings from the corporate services to support patient care, which is also making us vulnerable as far as the Auditor General's areas are concerned. As far as the National Health Information Systems are concerned, on revenue billing and the patient information system, we make use of the PAB system, which is also known as NutriClean, although currently we're busy procuring a new system through the CETA. We think that we will get more value for money with this transition because currently we're paying just over 50 million over 3 years versus what we would be paying, say, 2 to 5 million a month with a new arrangement. Because with the current NutriClean, we don't even own the system, so it makes it really no value for money as far as we are concerned. For pharmaceutical services, the depot is installing Intenda, the warehouse management system, to manage the flow of medication between suppliers and the facilities. So we are going to be installing this system in all the facilities to ensure uniformity. In actual fact, it is a national system. And Intenda is therefore expected to be functional as from the 1st of June in this year. Our clinics have the RX solution, sometimes called the treatment solution, installed, and the treatment solution is just an ordering and dispensing system that helps us to keep track with what is coming in and going out. Currently, the stock visibility system, or the SVS, was launched a few months ago. The National Minister is actually, or the National Department of Health is keeping track of how this is unfolding across all the facilities, especially the primary health care facilities. As far as alignment of provincial and national health information systems are concerned, our DHIS, we've migrated 1.4 to Web DHIS so that both national and provincial are able to access the system live. And then some facilities capture their data on the system monthly, while others still have to depend on standalone computers. Other systems for IT are the ETR.net, which is a live system to ensure that our TB registers are updated on a daily basis. And of these, of the facilities having this system, we have 129 out of 166. The network infrastructure on the whole is a big problem in the province, and it also has been highlighted in the report that we have been reading from the previous visits that were conducted in the province. We need an estimated amount of just over 38 million for our local area networks. And if we were just to go with wide area network connectivity at our primary healthcare facilities, we need just over 3 million. Now, from our health infrastructure revitalization grant. We have an amount of 6 million that has been budgeted for to assist our primary health care facilities, because none of our clinics actually have got a connectivity, and it affects our data flow, our reporting for decision making, and actually it makes us look quite backward because the world has become digital. On the next slide, we're talking about the critical functions that are being devolved to designated levels for service delivery efficiencies and better for performance. All our HR functions rest with the executive authority, and chief directors and directors are responsible for cost center management of their respective budgets. Now, in order to strengthen internal controls, key functions have been centralized in the short term. For example, districts don't have full access to personnel because we still have to build capacity in the periphery before you can make sure that sensitive functions have been devolved out there. SCM and financial management officials are currently being capacitated because we've also centralized some of our supply chain functions because of lack of facility of staffing at the periphery in the district hospitals. It sometimes affects the procurement processes or the turnaround times for procurement, but we need to first be confident that we are addressing the concerns of the Auditor General's report before we can devolve these functions with the necessary resources. The current process for budgeting is that we have got our budget bilateral engagements concluded, except that we have got to tighten that process at provincial level, and that is underway. Chairperson, if you allow me, I'll ask that the CFO speaks to the compensation slides and give more context, if that is in order.
Thank you, HOD. With regards to compensation of employees, our compensation of employees comprised of 2.2 billion rand of our 4.4 billion rand budget. So that's roughly roughly 50% of the total budget. With regards to the effective management of personnel and expenditure in the healthcare sector, the cost of healthcare services in the Northern Cape is exceptionally high. And the reason for that is that we really are unable to attract clinical professionals to the Northern Cape because of the rurality of the province. So often when we do, a larger part of our specialists include foreign nationals, and it's much more expensive to have them on the system because you need to cover the cost of their housing. But also even our local doctors do not want to come to the province because of challenges with regards to the fact that there's no English schools. So once you get them, there's an expectation that we need to pay for the cost of their housing. And because, and Limpopo made a case of this as well earlier, that because of the challenges with shortage of staff in general, shortage of nurses, lack of specialized nurses, you need more doctors to, for example, be in a theater, more doctors to fill your rotas. And when you have shortages of those doctors, then you have commuted overtime, you have overtime above commuted overtime, and all of those costs then push the cost of our compensation budget exceptionally high. We also find that it's more your older doctors or more experienced doctors that would come to the province, and the cost of more experienced doctors or older doctors are much more because of OSD, because of years of experience. So you end up paying a doctor an annual salary of about 1.8 million in excess, plus commuted overtime, plus a housing allowance. And housing allowances we've now managed to negotiate, and they range up to about 12,000 rand a month. And this is not even taking into account the fact that in these cases where sometimes we need to transport doctors to facilities as well. So the fact that our Our compensation of employees is one of our biggest cost drivers, and the cost is really allocated to the retention of clinical staff. It's also impacting on other resources, like trying to retain services or allocate monies to your cleaning staff, etc., etc. So it puts pressure on that end. Okay. On the next slide is the alignment between province and national for health infrastructure. Those are the priorities that we have for the infrastructure sub-programs, the three, and I will not go through them individually. And then we have got health facility upgrades and refurbishments, really an area that is requiring a lot of attention in our province, mainly because most of our health infrastructure is aging or is old. Some of it has deteriorated. However, as MEC mentioned earlier, the fact that we cannot afford new facilities due to budgetary constraints means that we've got to concentrate more on refurbishments rather than demolishing rundown facilities. Then the next one is strategies to improve budget expenditure. We have continuous engagement with the implementing agents. In the case of the Northern Cape, it is the Department of Public Works as well as the IDT helping us. So although there are challenges, we are thinking that we need to improve our monitoring and oversight and holding the two agents accountable for deliverables, because in the end we are at the receiving end when they are not delivering. So for that reason, the alignment of IDMSs for each project towards the budget processing activities is being prioritized. So those are the challenges I've already spoken to and the interventions that we aim to enter into. I'm just going, there was a slide on the ideal clinic chairperson, but I'll just use a sentence or two sentences to say where we are on service delivery. Because we have improved significantly since the last year, this time when we only had three facilities attaining ideal status for the ideal clinic operation PAGISA. Currently, we've got 58. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable members, the ball is in your hands now. Questions? Two per member. Honourable Member Dr. Maisela, sorry. Honourable Member Imam. Honourable Member Mr. McLaughlin. Honourable Member James. Honourable Member Kosa. In that order. The lady at the back. Okay, Honorable James. Okay, Honorable Member Snukwanyane. Honorable Member Shopestol. In that order.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. And we appreciate the presentation. Why you have a problem of attracting doctors because of housing problems? Did you ever think of talking to the province to build houses and lease it to them instead of giving them 12,000 a year? A month to build a house. To build a house, a housing allowance. It would be better if you build houses and lease it to them at reasonable prices. even if it is you absorb the cost of the lease. But rather than give them that exorbitant amount of money, well, because of the vastness of the terrain, well, those services need traveling. I don't know, it is not in your competency to put people together in a small dorpy rather than one in Petson or Water, the other one in Dewey Peffels. If they, yeah, people stay where they want, but they want treatment, and you have to take an EMS, and there is no phone. By the time you get hold of somebody to help, the patient is already too late. I mean, too late for the patient. So, yeah. This connectivity you're talking about, it is going to cost you more if you do it on your own. I mean, a standalone medical care connectivity, LA, instead of getting the provincial one and hooking onto the provincial connectivity. I'm not sure that that's what you mean, that you are going to have your own connectivity as a health service connectivity, or you mean this 38 million is just connecting to the provincial thing, and then maybe it's too much if it's 38 million just to piggyback on the provincial connectivity. Yeah, it is too much. They are taking advantage. I want one more question. It's a slow delivery of project by contractors.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for that presentation. Let me start off by, can you tell us what you're doing about your HIV program? Because I think Northern Cape is one of the provinces that has a very high prevalence of HIV and AIDS. That seems to be a problem. And can you tell us what is the latest in terms of the alleged corruption that takes place in the Northern Cape Department of Health and the subsequent investigations to try and root out all the corruption that has been taking place there? Including but not limited to, if you can tell us what is the latest on that mental hospital. Thank you.
I think it was me, Madam Chair. Thank you. Just once again, I would like to ask about what your collection rate is on your billing, and whether you have a program in place to collect bad debts, and whether that shows any success. And I had the thought while you were presenting, and I don't know, maybe it's not my place to ask the question, but the thought occurred to me, would there be any benefit, in your opinion, to have like one central hospital that you could sort of put all your resources into, almost all your resources, and then transport people from the rural areas into a central hospital? Would that be more cost effective than trying to have clinics all over the place or little hospitals all over the place that can deal with everybody? Just a question I have. I'm thinking from the finances point of view, but I mean, you might have a lot of resistance from that, from the populations themselves who don't want to do the traveling and things, I understand, but it was just a question I had in my mind. And then I noticed on the medical legal claims, the Northern Cape is rather exceptional in the fact that in the last year it came down from 4,844,000 that it paid out to 823,000. Now, that's a remarkable achievement. What did you guys do right that everybody else seems to be getting wrong? Do you have any explanation for us? Because I'm sure all the other provinces would like to hear. Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Just to amplify the earlier question about West End, if you can just tell us where we are with West End in terms of the amount of money that's been spent. I mean, I visited West End twice, and I know it's been a black hole in terms of sucking up money. So where are you with that? And the second question is, you're flying ambulance service. Well, what's the status of that? Given the vast size of the Northern Cape, you know, flying ambulance service is an important issue.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation, Notre Dame Cape. Yes, I'm just having two issues to be clarified on. The first one is, on your presentation, you reported that you concentrate much on refurbishing existing structures than building new ones, because it affects your limited budget. But it contradicts also the AG's finding that you have a limited budget with regard to your maintenance. I don't know as to how do you deal with this. How is this possible that you are spending much on maintenance? The other issue, MEC, how do you manage with all these people acting? It's really a serious challenge to me. They are all acting except one. Can you clarify us? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. You mentioned contractors not delivering projects on time. I'm not sure because I went outside, but I know there is a hospital somewhere in Kimberley that was nominally not so expensive. At this point in time, it is costing maybe five times the original price. Can you tell us more about that and tell us what are you going to do with that elephant in your room?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you for the presentation. My one question, I think Honorable Maisela answered, because I was going to ask if what the possibility is to provide accommodation for your medical staff. But I would like to just point out the issue of the comparison that you made in terms of the equitable share allocation. Comparing with provinces like Gauteng, Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, obviously you wouldn't get equal percentage, but I think as a smaller province, you actually are benefiting more from the equitable share, because poorer and smaller provinces are taken into account when the equitable share is allocated, because you are not able to have your own revenue as compared to others. The second question then is in terms of the infrastructure expenditure. You've got challenges there, but you know the strategies that you're putting down, the engagement with the said engagement with implementing agents, I don't really think that would save. Maybe if you just put a little bit more flesh to say what it is that you actually see as strategies to improve expenditure on your infrastructure expenditure, because those statements, I don't think they would actually, because maybe something just concrete that would say what exactly you're going to do. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies for coming a bit late.
I just want to find out to you, Chair, in the health facilities upgrade and refurbishment, are you now upgrading those clinics to speak to the needs that we have currently? For instance, your HIV and AIDS, your drug and alcohol abuse, because I'm not sure how big it is in your province and how you deal with it, for the benefit of the poor, so that they can access and have access of assisting their people. You know, that your dental clinics within the upgrades, your all the necessary clinics needs that all the needs that the people need have nowadays, because you cannot now start refurbishing a clinic still, you know, speaking to the same old illnesses that we have before. We have different illnesses that now really needs to be speaking to the needs of people, and also thinking of having youth clinics within those buildings where youth can have access to health and be able to freely, you know, speak their language or their terms while they accessing health. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
thank you, Honourable Chairperson. On slide number 11, you mentioned that standard operating procedures, supply chain management and financial management officials are being capacitated. Now that's putting the cart before the horse, because you're giving people a responsibility to manage your supply chain, and then you're giving them funds, and then once they are in positions, now you want to capacitate them. Surely that is problematic. So it's that's why we are in the situation, because people are being employed without the necessary skills and capacity, and that's where the problem is. So therefore, we can understand why you have these financial constraints and these financial challenges. And then the other issue on slide number 13, you mentioned about the housing allowances. You say it's a challenge, and I'm not so sure what you mean there, but I see the figures ranging from 4,000 to 12,000 for doctors. I'm not so sure. Are you putting them in RDP houses? Because, I mean, really, that amount, how do you expect to retain professionals, let alone doctors, for 4,000 rand a month? Thanks, Honourable Chairperson.
Honourable Co-Chair?
No, thank you, Chair. Pardon me for my ignorance. Where is Briska? Is it in Appington? But can I be protected?
Yeah.
No, what's the joke? What is wrong in me asking where is... Because I don't stay in Northern Cape. I've never been in Northern Cape for the last 14 years. Can I be protected, Chair? Because if Dr. Maisel, I can ask him, where is KwaZakhele?
I can see you continue with the preamble. Your question.
No.
You are protected. Proceed, but you are so
protected. I'm asking where is Briska, because there is a state of the art hospital that is built in Northern Cape, whether it is Appington or Briska. So that's why I'm asking where is Briska, so that So in that, if then that state-of-the-art hospital is in Appington, what is the situation? Is it functioning well in terms of, that's why my question, because I don't want to ask whereas Briska is in Appington. That's my question.
All right, just two questions from me. Your district health, how are you strengthening it? Because for now it is known to be a post office, which is an unfortunate description. It's not supposed to be a post office. But also, what are you doing to prepare for the NHI that is going to be implemented through your district health programs? Your qualified audit, we're not happy at all. That's an underperformance. If you have a qualified CFO, the CFO has got to make sure that there's a movement to unqualified, but we will be very happy if you can make history, make yourself a legacy. You zoom straight to a clean audit. It's doable if you do the right things. Working with your internal auditor, working with your audit committee, and also remember in your audit committee, the AG sits in your audit committee trying to take advantage of the audit committee in your audit committee so that you can, and also committing yourself to implementation of the action plan that comes as a result of the audit findings. So we're not happy there, and when we call you, we're not going to take long before we call you. When you call you, you must give us a turnaround there. Over to you, MEC.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Maybe firstly, let me respond to the question that was posed by Honorable Dr. Maisela around the issue of houses for doctors. The provincial government recently had a discussion after being faced with this challenge that we alluded to in our report around the demand from doctors to be given 20,000 for their housing allowance. The Director General of the province then, together with myself and the Premier and the MEC for Public Works, are looking at the possibility of having a complex in all these areas for doctors, but also the intention might be good, but it also depends on the availability of funds to have that facility constructed. So we are still busy doing an assessment of how much it will cost us, and then we didn't want to communicate it now, but given the fact that the question was posed to that effect, I think it's proper that I respond to it by saying that there are plans to look into that. Because it might come a bit cheaper in the long term for the province. For now, it will be costly because it will be construction, but over the years, it will be beneficial to ourselves as a province. One of the issues that was raised also was around the issue of corruption. Other issues will be responded to by my SMS members. As you are aware, before I came into the department last year, there was a lot of suspension of senior managers who were alleged to have been involved in corruption, some of whom have been dismissed after their DC last year. I think towards the end of the year, one of the chief director was found guilty and dismissed for serious fraud charges that were leveled against him, and other directors and deputy directors in supply chain also, because there was a situation where prices were overinflated, you know, and even some of the equipment that were bought were not even compliant in terms of our standards, not SABS approved, not properly calibrated, which might also lend us into hot waters when it comes to the issue of litigation and your medical legal claims, because if you take wrong readings of a patient, that in itself is a very serious offense. So there is work done. Last week, one of the chief directors was to appear, who was the CEO of the KH Hospital, but he resigned just a week before he was supposed to appear for the disciplinary. So there's a lot that we are doing, even in terms of the training that the Honorable Member referred to, why I employ people and later train them. As you are aware, systems are introduced over time. Now, at times, some of the systems that we introduce, we will need more warm bodies, you know, because you can't make an order, do this, requisition, approve, and what have you. You need maybe 5 people to just work on a system. And in district, at times we find that we have only 2 people, and that is where now corruption really creeps in. So as a way of trying to manage what we saw was coming in terms of corruption and our suspicions, around corruption, we then have to, except for only capacity, we had to centralize, you know, particularly for certain amounts of procurement to head office. But as we are talking now, the CFO who came in last year is working very hard to train, capacitate through with his supply chain director, her supply chain director, to capacitate those officials in the district so that we avoid a situation where people will take advantage of them because of their lack of understanding of the systems that we have in place. So the capacity, the training is continuous. You know, it goes with all the changes that we put in place to improve things. The benefits of having one hospital, you know, if Northern Cape was as small as Gauteng, that was going to be very possible to have let's have a hospital where we bring all the specialists and then we refer everybody to the hospital. But at the moment, it can't be possible in the Northern Cape. That is why we have taken a resolution that says let's rather strengthen the periphery, where you have unnecessary referrals to KH, which is a tertiary hospital, from as far as Yen and Flay. Ambulance is based in Chwarahano, drives for 145 kilos to collect the patient, come back to Chwarahano, another 145, and then further to Kimberley, which is another 240 kilos. So the decentralization of such a service will actually not assist us as a province, because as it is now, KH is really under pressure from all the referrals that we have. That is why we are saying let's capacitate our district hospitals to ensure that we minimize referrals, which will also be a benefit in terms of the finances for us as a province, because transport in the main is the one that is consuming more in terms of our allocation. The issue of refurbishment. Look, you know, we are very cautious of not growing too big too soon, you know, by having facilities that we cannot even have warm bodies for. Or spending money that we intend to spend money that we don't have or that we won't get. That is why we are saying refurbishment for us, in terms of our ideal clinic initiative also, because there are certain elements that need to be observed for a clinic to be regarded as ideal. So in any case, all the existing clinics are to be refurbished if they are not in a good state, because they must adhere to the ideal clinic initiative elements. So we are not necessarily only concentrating on refurbishment, but we're saying for those facilities that, for example, Chwarahano Hospital that the portfolio committee will be visiting sometime next week, is one of the very old hospitals that has been there, I don't know for how many years. I think it's before all of us were born. So it's a very old facility. It's dilapidated. So for such facilities, we don't have money to build a new hospital for that district. The only option for now is to refurbish it. The process that is already ongoing out of the grant that we were given from nationals last year. We are trying to refurbish and even to put an EMS substation there to make things easy for the EMS services. So the acting part, you will remember that, like I just said, one of the directors was chief directors was dismissed, honorable member, last year, the chair. So then, since he was suspended, we had an acting corporate services manager. We are currently in the process because we could not fill the post while the disciplinary processes are still ongoing. So we are now in the process of finalizing the permanent filling of the post. That also goes for the infrastructure unit where Dr. Mabena Bona is the acting chief director. and the acting HOD, all of us will know that there was a protracted strike last year, unprotected strike by Nehau, which led to the release of the HOD from the department. So the matter was finalized in December, which then means that myself and the Premier's office we have engaged on the matter, and I think very soon that there will be an acting, because Members has been appointed to act for 6 months, within which the post must be filled. So I think that's basically why we have a lot of actings here. But it's not a very ideal situation, I must admit, Honourable Member. So it's something that we are working on, and we hope that in a very short space of time it will be addressed. The allocation to province, there's a certain norm, a national norm, as to how much we must get in terms of equitable share. So that is what we are fighting for. We are saying, as a province, in our province, we are not getting that share. And I think one of the reasons why we are here is precisely to account to this committee. And if there's any assistance that we'll get from yourselves to assist us in terms of getting this, because I think that is the reason why we are here, to account and to be assisted so that we really get what we think we're supposed to get. Otherwise, if you don't get it, if you have, like the Honourable Member was saying, there's an increase of HIV and AIDS in the province, but we still have a decline in terms of what we're getting, then that it's not a very good story to tell. I don't know, Honourable Co-Chair was talking about Prisca. I don't know whether you wanted to, because there are two hospitals, that new hospitals. One is the one in Upington, Harry Surti, the one that was opened by the President. I'm not sure whether you're referring to that one, the state of the art. But if you were referring to that one, that is exactly where we had a challenge with the doctors recently. Who wanted to leave en masse, you know. So, like I'm saying, you will never know whether how serious are they when they say we are leaving. And you can't gamble with that. Hence, the 4,000 additional. We are not saying we are giving them 4,000 as a housing allowance. What we are saying is that on top of the 8,000 that they are getting, we have increased that amount by 4,000 to 12,000 rand for their housing allowance. Because what one is suspecting also, Honourable Chair, is that there might be some collusion among the what do you call them, estate agents. Because housing, given the ruralness of that area, is not really an urban area. It can be a peri-urban Upington, but it's not classified as a rural area, as a rural district. Now you have a situation where people will demand a lot, but the market value, what the market demands, is not what these estate agents are demanding. They are demanding more than what the market is saying they should demand. So we suspect, we are not sure, but we suspect that there might be some collusion of some sort between some people in that district for them to get more money through the rental of houses, which I believe the solution that was proposed by Dr. Maisele will really come in handy for us to ensure that we don't have such challenges in the future, because we are being milked, and unfortunately we don't have a choice, because there's only one agent who's really dominant in that area. So we are working on that one. As for other questions, the infrastructure chief director is here. The mental hospital is I think it's something that is boggling all of us, you know. That is why we are doing everything, because except for the fact that there are challenges in terms of the implementation, there are also other investigations that have been put in place. I must report to this committee, because we also suspect that there is something that is fishy that is going on, where people just want to really make money out of the mental hospital. But I think the HOD and the chief director will respond to that, because as it is now, we are requesting additional funding from national, which is a lot of money that we are told we must. Then, and you see, the consultants have been there forever, you know, since the project started 10 years ago. We only changed contractors, but the question is, what's wrong? What's wrong with the scope of work? Who's responsible for determining how much was to be used in the first place? So it's kind of a very difficult situation that we find ourselves in. But the chief director is having will just present a proper response to what we are faced with as it is now. And I think our aim, you know, our aim was to say by the end of this year, come December at least. You know, because I know there has been shifting of dates ever since. To say we'll complete it June 2015, then 2016, and the DG is very unhappy with this whole thing. It's very, very unhappy with this. I think if he had a choice, she could have stopped it. You know, but anyway, I'm not speaking on her behalf, but I know she's very unhappy with this prolonged processes of us failing to complete the hospital. Thank you very much. I'll give over to HOD and other MCs and SMS members to respond.
Can you please shorten to the point?
Okay, thank you. I think to tie in with what the MEC has said, I will hand over to the acting chief director to close, to complete the item on mental health, as well as the slow delivery by contractors, and then the CFO and the acting chief director, corporate services, will speak on connectivity and medical legal claims. Thank you.
Okay. I'll be very short. Thanks. We, as the MEC has indicated, we are progressing on the completion of the mental health project. We are targeting end of this financial year. There's been challenges, as we all know. We have now reached 89% fiscal progress on site, and we have approached National Department of Health to help us with a top up on the budget on the project, because since we have started with the second contract, we have just exceeded the allocation that was given to the contract appointed. And in terms of the slow progress by the contractor, the challenge we have is that contractors are not graded by either ourselves or Public Works. They are graded by Construction Industry Development Board, which is the CIDB. It's unfortunate that the grading that they come up with when it comes to implementation, these contractors do not show up to the capacity that they've been graded to. Because this contractor, for example, a contractor will come at grade 9. We're expecting that contractor to have a minimum of 10 million in the account. But the same contractor will start on a project within the first month, the same contractor wants to be paid, while we're expecting such a contractor to be making progress maybe in 2 to 3 months before submitting a claim to us. But that's the challenge we're facing as the Department of Health Infrastructure Unit. Even our Public Works Implementing Agency is facing the same challenge, because we are using contractors from CIDB. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you. With regards to our Edo Medical Services, the department, initially the department participated in the RT contract, which the service provider was appointed by National Treasury, but that contract was subsequently terminated because of underperformance by the service provider. Then the department during the previous financial year entered into a contract with a service provider for Edo Medical Services. However, during September, we realized when we were appointed that contract was not irregular, was that regular, and that the department was being overcharged significantly for those services. So subsequently, we terminated the contract with that Edo Medical Services. Yes, we do have Edo Medical Services currently. We are alternating between three service providers in the Northern Cape. the cost, since we've done this, have reduced from 2 million rand per month to ranging between 200,000 and 300,000 rand a month. So yes, we do have ERA medical services, but at a much lower rate than what was done before. Then with regards to our unqualified audit report, yes, we acknowledge that in order to achieve an unqualified audit report, management of the audit action plan has to happen. We are extremely grateful for the assistance that was given by our National Department of Health, because in January they've appointed psycho consultants to come in to support us. Also, our provincial treasury has come on board since January, and they are now assisting us with asset management and revenue management. So with those two parties on board, I want to say that we are not going to receive an unqualified audit report this financial year. Our efforts to address our audit action plan only started from January, because we had that strike during the previous financial year. Previous year, it was a three-month-long strike. And we've now in the process, we're putting controls in place to make sure that we can address all the audit action, all the audit findings, and implement controls to improve our efficiency in terms of supply chain management, to deal with issues of compliance, put controls in place to improve our revenue management. We're underperforming terribly in terms of revenue management. We're only currently our revenue collection rate is at 50%. And that's purely due to the fact that we don't have staff in place, we don't have the correct controls in place. Our system that we currently have in place is not completely functional. And that's why we negotiated, because it was also a system that was highly irregular. We negotiated with the service provider because we couldn't remove it completely. We reduced the cost that the department was paying of that service provider from about 2.5 million a month to now 500,000 a month. So we're now only paying for license fees. We've cut out all additional costs that the system currently is inadequate. And also the fact that we don't have connectivity. Mr. Stingwe will speak to the connectivity later. But so we have put controls in place, and now together with CETA, we're hoping that by the 1st of June, our IT system will be fully functional, and by that time our people should be fully capacitated as well to support our processes so that we can improve on our revenue collection. Also, our internal controls for supply chain management and the capacitation of staff, we're hoping that we'll be fully functional. We've made a commitment to say that by September there should be an improvement in terms of the efficiency and the controls and compliance. But again, for this financial year ending, we won't have an improvement in the audit finding, but definitely there have been a lot of strides made in terms of improving the control environment and strengthening the environment. Thank you.
No, just one question that was asked by Honorable Maisel, I think, is the connectivity. That estimate, Honorable Maisel, is for the province, not for the facility, the 38 million. And then the figure mentioned for the medical legal claims is quite low, and it cannot be correct, because as it is now, we are standing at 1.2 billion. Medical legal claims that are pending.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On the question of the alignment between district health services and the NHI process, what is happening is that the district health services platform is being used to move towards the national health insurance. I have referred to Operation Pakisa as an example, the Ideal Clinic initiative. The standards that have been set there are being executed through the district health system, through facilities. They must meet the standards for equipment, for supplies, for procedures and protocols, and so on and so on. So indeed, we have got to focus a lot on the alignment between the two. Currently, we've got an NHI project manager that is still funded by the National Department of Health, and her contract is ending in June this year. We are hoping that her contract may be extended. I think the request has been made already to the National Department of Health. If that doesn't happen, I think we just, as a province, will have to see how we manage that space. But we take the Honourable Chairperson's dissatisfaction about just maybe how much more oomph can be gotten out of the district health system itself, you know, to prepare for the national health insurance in a few years. Thank you.
This brings us to the end of the first session. I really would like to thank you for your presentations and for the robust engagement. From these engagements, observations are that Parliament and its committees are all committed to finding precise and detailed solutions to the challenges facing the health sector. The Honourable Members remain concerned with the actual situation on the ground of many health facilities. There were concerns and areas which we will need to focus on and propose both committees consider having a joint project on tackling these going forward. One, Medico is affecting our finances and is a major issue. The first step will be to call in the Minister of Health on this issue. And two, personnel, and then form that there was a proposal that there must be a team that also advises on key issues, including a medical legal issue. Personnel vis-a-vis goods and services budget must be normalized. You know, it is prescribed by National Treasury. At least you must have 6% of your budget going into administration. You know that. Yeah, so just as a reminder, work towards that. Infrastructure maintenance and project management shall improve, and we've requested all the departments to submit to us their costed implementation infrastructure plan. That includes your good self. And also a costed equipment plan. That is also extended to you. Costed equipment plan. All right. Now, indeed, we think it will be cost effective that where you don't have the project, instead of starting new projects, can you focus on refurbishment of the existing structures, but you do it to the best of your ability so that you don't refurbish, and when we come, we ask, have you really refurbished this place? Which means you must get qualified people to do it well. At least this year there must be an outcome that we can talk about. That, yeah, there's, you know, face uplift and cleanliness inside and outside. When I say outside, inside walls and outside walls and the roofs, and then also the yard, maintenance of the yard, and not to find grass this high, hiding snakes there. As patients come to the hospital, then they come across this accident of being bitten by snakes. So, you know, and then in this regard, we have requested a policy development on maintenance. Same goes to you. And then the health information systems must be aligned, and I'm happy because you also aligning with National Department of Health, and all that is needed here, cooperative governance, and also seeing the need to align, you know, because they set the norms and standards. So as you align, there's no way in which you can go wrong. But also you must learn to submit to higher structures. Yes. When I was in the administration, I remember, not today, today it's not happening, when they gave instructions, you didn't even ask, how high must I jump? You jumped and then you would ask later. I promise you, I joined administration in 1981. So that must tell you I worked for the then government. Okay. So today things are different, but I promise you there's nothing wrong. If you get instructions from the higher offices, you must know they will have carefully considered, you know, carefully apply their minds, and then give, you know, as they give you the instructions, to carry those instructions as is, so that you can have order, you know, also in this sector. And then partnerships within the sector is important. And then accruals, by next year, this should be resolved significantly, because you know the negative impact of accruals. Actually, where you have across. It means even your plans must change, because the money for the implementation of your plans is no more there, because it will have serviced the previous year's implementation plan. So accruals, no, it's a no, no, no. It's actually very wrong. Shouldn't be allowed. So that's where we are. And then dealing with fiscal consolidation without affecting quality of services is vital. Don't come and tell us about fiscal consolidation. The minister's already told us. All what we want is, how are you responding to that? Because if he lowers your, what do you call it? If he lowers, there's a word, what is it? Okay, if he lowers the, oh no, it will come, don't worry. Oh, okay, the ceilings, yes, budget ceilings. You know what it means? You go and lower yours without compromising key service delivery issues. There are those things that you can still postpone. And then, but the key ones on service delivery, those you must do, and you must do it to the best of your ability. We must then see the difference. You can't come here and tell us, and when you tell us, we tell you, but people are saying at home the hospitals are dirty. People are saying there are no tablets. But you say you're buying tablets. But we're telling you, this is what people are saying. There are no tablets. And people are saying nurses harass them. When they're sick, they're being harassed. No. It means after this, we must see the difference. That's why we called you. We're responding to all those things, because the Constitution says we must be responsive to the needs of the people. That's not what we are saying. And we respect the Constitution as the supreme law of this country. So can we please get a change, a very big change? Well, thank you so much. Indeed, it was very, very, we had an interesting engagement. I'm not going to allow you to say I've already closed the first session. Thank you very much. Shall we take a short, how many minutes? 30 minutes, a break, lunch break. I wonder, what did you want to say? Imam, normally Uzalesa is constructive.